Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 6. Actually, I'm starting a message this morning that it's going to take two services to get through it. In fact, it may even take three. Who knows? But I'm going to be dealing with a subject that is prophetic in terms of content. And I think you know by now that I certainly am a student of Bible prophecy. I just find myself drawn time and time again to prophetic scripture. I think that we're living in prophetic days. And I just cannot get away from the subject of prophecy in my own personal devotions and in my study. And I just love to preach prophecy. I'll tell you one thing. There's one, I believe we all understand this. When it comes to particular areas of prophecy, all we can do is take a guess and move on. We can't be but so specific, but yet we are inclined, and we do have the right to look at the Bible, compare scripture with scripture, consider the writings of other people, and just put it all together, and then we do reserve the right to give our own opinion, and it, sometimes all it is just our opinion. So we understand that. But there are some basic prophetic truths that I think are crystal clear. And we don't have to dodge the issue but so much. In fact, it is a, I believe it is absolutely crystal clear that the Bible teaches on the coming of Christ. And I believe also it's crystal clear that we've got to be living in the last days. Now, most prophetic messages that we hear preached are those that deal with the world before the rapture. And there's a lot that can be said. In fact, Brother Glenn did an excellent job this morning in 2 Thessalonians, and I'll be in that again tonight, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But it's easy to spend a lot of time talking about the world before the rapture, the conditions in the world before the rapture. But for this message, I want us to consider, of course, I'm going to say a few things about before the rapture, but I want to spend the bulk of my time this morning and tonight looking at how the world will be after the rapture. What will be the condition on this earth? What can humanity expect? We're going to be looking at that this morning and this evening. The title of my message for these two services is simply, The World After the Rapture. Now, let me begin reading at verse number 1 of chapter 6 of Revelation. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. And I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when it opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that set thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when it opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil in the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. I'll pause my reading of God's word And through the course of this message, I will be referencing some other verses of Scripture to try to give us more clarity on what this passage of Scripture is teaching. But let me begin this morning by simply saying that when it comes to the matter of life before the rapture, life after the rapture, we do have many, many Bible passages that give us an insight into what life will be like now and then after even the rapture. We could say in a general way, these days in which we're living, to say they're unusual is an understatement. These days in which we're living, I believe, are prophetic days. I believe they are perilous days. And I believe that they are pathetic days. So I'm saying today they are prophetic, they're perilous, and they are pathetic. They are prophetic in the sense that I believe, it's my opinion, that the sovereign God of heaven is working in this world. I believe that He's orchestrating events to happen that have happened, even including our country, this nation. And all of us decry the condition of this land. We're concerned. But we must not leave out the fact that God is sovereign. He raises up nations. He puts down nations as He pleases. Daniel's prophecy teaches that. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I've written on the subject. But I personally, in terms of this nation, and my message is not about this nation that we're living in, but I do believe this. I do not see America, this country, in Bible prophecy, as far as specifically, definitely. Now, there are Bible students that can talk about maybe the hinder part nations or various other biblical passages where they say this could be America, but I really myself have not fastened my brain around seeing America in Bible prophecy. I have to feel, this is just my personal opinion, I don't have Bible to back it, but I personally feel that the direction that this nation is going, with the current state of things, with the complete dismay, confusion, chaos in politics, the social climate of our land, the hideous policies of this left-wing administration that does not love America. Let's be clear about that. You can't love America if you don't love the Constitution. To open borders, to let anybody cross, including drug addicts, drug peddlers, and all the rest. And also, militarily, America can't do but so much. Right now, in Europe, there's a war going on, including a superpower against the Ukraine. Right now, as I speak, there are threats. There are actually opinions on the part of some that China may invade Taiwan. Yeah, I meant to say Taiwan. You put all that together, you read prophetic scripture, and many of us believe that the nations that might be involved in that final conflict before Christ comes back in glory could very well be Russia, her allies, China, Eastern power, you know, from the east of Israel, the allies, including Iran, which is Persia, old Persia, various ones. I'm simply saying this. As a nation, I see us getting weaker and weaker and weaker thanks to politics. But yet don't rule out the sovereign hand of God in bringing everything to pass, because basically we deserve what we're getting. We don't have time for God anymore. We're permitting, we're justifying, we're excusing heinous sin that must cause God to gag at what's going on in this nation. And I see us possibly either blending in with Western European nations when you get, you know, to the time of Book of Revelation after the rapture. But I don't see us with the structure of a superpower. So what's happened? Have we been defeated? That's possible. Have we simply given up, given in, said, I don't care. I'll just, you know, I'll be a part of another sovereign nation. I don't know. But I know this. This world is in a mess. There's nothing short of the coming of Jesus Christ that's going to straighten out this mess. And I personally believe the church could go up any minute. I believe the rapture could take place any minute, and then, my friend, all hell is going to break loose on this earth. Before the rapture, what do we see? Well, I think one of the biggest indicators is the state of Israel. What's happening in Israel? Developments in Israel. The growth of the nation Israel. All the things that's happened in recent years. God is not through with His people. Israel's stance. That's a good indicator, I think, of where we are. You see such hostility, such animosity, such anti-Semitism going on right now in this world, but God is not through with Israel. The tribulation period will be Daniel's 70th week. Daniel said, determine against my people. So the tribulation period will primarily be geared at God dealing with His people. And so much could be said. But eventually, at the end of the tribulation, when Christ comes back, they will look upon Him whom they have pierced. Their eyes will see Him, and the nation, as it will be converted. That will take place. But before the rapture, I think that world events, viewed through the prism of biblical understanding, suggests the imminency of Christ's return of the Lord Jesus for His redeemed ones. I think that we could factor in other things, including the knowledge explosion in this world, including the technology, including the capability of satellites that are making it possible that we can know what's going on right now on any place of this earth. And now it's becoming even clearer as time goes on as we read the Bible that it's not too hard now to understand how when the two bodies of those witnesses in the book of Revelation that are killed, how the world will be able to witness their coming back to life. We will be able to sit in our homes looking at our television set through satellite. We can see it actually happening as it happens. In fact, right now, we can see things happening across this world as they are happening right now. So that's becoming even easier to understand. Revelation 11, verse 9 says, and they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Everybody will be able to see that take place when it happens in Israel. Now, the last days of the church age, the days before the rapture, what does the Bible tell us? Well, these are perilous times. That word is actually used. Perilous times. These are dangerous times. These are times that everybody needs a bodyguard. Or they need to have a weapon to defend themselves. It is that dangerous. Dangerous times. in our brief lifetime, in fact, in the last 10 years, we could even move that up a little bit and say in the last 5 years, have we ever heard of any more killings, school killings, drive-by killings, unsafe to be anywhere right now on planet Earth? Cities like New York City, Chicago, Philadelphia, many more we can name, you're taking a major risk if you walk down any of those streets. Perilous times. The continual account of school campus killings, the upsurge of street violence is on the rise. That cannot be denied. Drug addiction. Thanks to this feckless, America-hating administration, we open our borders. We let millions of people cross. And coming across the border are the drug handlers bringing deadly fentanyl drugs, which has proven to be one of the biggest killers right now in terms of young people and deaths in America. Not only that, you got people now crossing our borders that there's no doubt about it. They hate this country, they have ulterior motives, and they would like to repeat 9/11. And we sit back and we say, come on in. You know, there's something about sin that's hard to understand sometimes. Sin does many things and causes people to act strange in many ways, but one of the things it does is it literally destroys a person's common sense. It destroys reason. It destroys sanity. Anybody with any common sense ought to see that you've got to keep a sovereign border because you've got to keep bad people out. And then only let people in that come in legally, that go through the paperwork and are vetted properly. But we don't care any longer. I'm saying today America's deserving what it's getting. Not good people like you folks, but this godless living today, we're reaping the consequences. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And my friend, that applies to nations as well. But drug trafficking. Drug trafficking organizations are typically distributing fentanyl by the kilogram. And by the way, did you know that 1 kilogram of fentanyl has a potential of killing 500,000 people? It's possible for someone to take a pill without knowing it contains fentanyl. It also is possible to take a pill knowing that it contains fentanyl, but with no way of knowing if it contains a lethal dose. According to CDC, synthetic opioids like fentanyl are the primary driver of overdose deaths in America. The rate of overdose deaths among U.S. teenagers nearly doubled in 2020 and rose another 20% in the first half of 2021, and that's not taken into account 2022. This is the first time in recorded history that the teen drug rate has seen an exponential rise, said lead author Joseph Friedman, an addiction researcher. It is due to drug overdose or due to drug use becoming not more common but more dangerous, he said. Drug use has always been common, but now drug use is becoming more dangerous because of the type of drug that we're getting thanks to China and thanks to the Mexican government not doing their part on their side of the border. The increase, and here's what Friedman said, the increases are almost entirely due to illicit fentanyls, which are increasingly found in counterfeit pills. These counterfeit pills are spreading across the nation, and teens may not realize they are dangerous. That's what we're facing. And nobody north of here in the D.C. area seems to have enough sense to not only they don't care, and if they do care, they're not going to do anything anyway. Consider the regular killings on the part of the drug cartels. That's what we're seeing in these days before the rapture. I've got an odd prediction here. It's not a good prediction. In fact, it's a bad prediction, but I think it's a true prediction. Cheer up. Things are going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. Because these are the last days. Sin is on the rampage. There's now, more than ever, in the culture of our country, an anti-God sentiment, a disrespect for the Bible, a disrespect for law and order, again, an example of insanity on the part of these lunatics. How in the world can anybody in their right thinking think that we do not need policemen? Now, answer that one for me. That's where we are. That's what I'm saying. Sin has a way of causing insanity. But I think one of the major forces in action today that we're really not seeing is increased demon activity. Doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons. I believe there's a wholesale demonic activity today that's infecting the minds of people. That's accounting for the lewdness, the debauchery, the filth, the corruption, the anti-God, the anti-scripture, the anti-marriage, the anti-morality. This is a demon-infested society. I believe the devil is working overtime, in other words. And then on the top of that, the apostasy that we're seeing in the land, a falling away. Like I said earlier, the people today that you'll come closer to reaching are the down and outers. Those that have totally bottomed out. Days before the rapture. This is a self-centered generation. The last days will witness an attitude of selfishness and greed. Paul described the attitude very well in 2 Timothy chapter 3, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Of their own selves. This is the selfie age. The selfie age. You know the picture that most people anymore like? The one of themselves. I say beware of a person infatuated on pictures of themselves. I don't want to look at myself very long, I'll tell you that much right now. It scares me for one thing. The day of the selfie. Self-centeredness. Men shall be lovers of themselves. And then he says, covetous. That's a hallmark of society, covetousness. Boasters. Then proud. Then blasphemous. And then disobedient to parents. And then unthankful. And then unholy. We're there, my friend. We've been there for a long time. This is a generation where self is on the throne. It's all about what everybody owes me. It's less about self-ambition and less about hard work, but it's more about I'll sit back, take it easy, and just keep sending the checks to me and let everybody else take care of me. It's a society that is unrestrained when it comes to moral standards. In days of an increasing abnormal behavior. Who would have ever thought? And I'm eating my words again. According to that little instrumental wall called a clock. I have spent most of my time before rapture stuff. Well, that's all right. That gives me an opportunity to have three messages, doesn't it? I never thought we'd ever live in a day to where there was any discussion, argument, confusion on what constituted the sex of an individual. I never thought we'd ever get there. But we are there. And the bad thing about it, we're not only there, but it's been accepted. It's been approved. You say anything in the terms of hostility towards adherent lifestyles, abhorrent lifestyles, deviant lifestyles, and you're subject to be arrested. That's where you are. I've already made up my mind, and I'm glad, my brother-in-law used to say this, I'm glad I'm on this side of things. Because the rate this world's going, of course I believe Jesus could come any minute, and that straightened it out though. But the rate this world's going, if a preacher is going to preach in an independent Baptist church, he better tone it down and compromise. Or else, speak up, say what's right, but do so realizing you may not have a pulpit too long. It's where we are. Let's face it. In fact, I'll be honest with you. Right now, I'd almost hate to be a young man graduating from Bible college going into ministry to be a pastor. As a young person. I would. We are in a society that's totally sick. Bathrooms for men and women to go into. Cross dressers. I'm going to say it, queers. I don't care what they think. I'm who I am. I ain't changing. That's right. I'm not. I'm not changing. I'm old school. Bless God, I'll die old school. And I'll tell you what's making it worse is the compromise and the apathy in churches where a bunch of preachers that I think have lace on their drawers are scared to preach. These are the last days, apostasy. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The world today wants just to give me a clergyman, give me a guy that talks nice, that talks smooth, that makes everybody happy, where everybody goes out real happy and with a big old smiley face, and we'll accept that kind of a church. If I understand the Bible right, the Word of God right, I believe the intent of an Almighty God is not necessarily a person leaving a church service with a happy smile, but going out with conviction in your soul. I believe God this morning is more concerned in a person being holy than a person being happy. Amen. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. But anyway, before the rapture. And no, I haven't got to my main point. I will tonight, folks. And I'll tell you something. I hope you come tonight because you'll get more out of it by being here in the service, okay? Hope you'll do that. Now, Vance Havner said something over 25 years ago, and he's probably already turned over in his grave several times. Old Vance Havner was a wise old preacher. Here's what he said. He said 25 years ago that America was destined to be the biggest buzzard rest, or buzzard roost, he called it. He quoted Matthew 24:28, which reads, "Wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." He then stated, he said, "Unless there is soon a genuine turning to God in America, we may end up the biggest buzzard roost of all times." I wonder what Vance Havner would say in 2022. I believe that these are indeed the last days and are reflective of a world just before the rapture. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching on the subject, the world after the rapture, which was what I announced earlier, but I wasn't able to keep my word because I got long-winded. But I'm glad I said what I said. Anyway, but we'll get back to it tonight. And if the rapture takes place before tonight, I'll let Brother Jim take care of the service. I'll tell you one thing, folks. If there's ever been a time a person needs to have a good old heaven-sent Holy Ghost dose of good old salvation, it's now. If there's ever been a time that a person needs to throw their religion away, if their religion hasn't got them to Christ, and place their trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and get under the blood, and get saved, and get ready to die, it's now. These are times that we can't afford to play religion. We can't afford to play church. We can't afford to play around. We can't afford to just simply sit back and twiddle our thumbs and say, it's okay. No, it's not okay. This world is a mess. And Christians need to arm themselves more, get more dedicated than ever, sell out to Jesus Christ, and unsaved people need to get saved before. And here's a statement that comes from old school preaching. But I will say it, before a person winds up in hell. That word hell is still in the book. Amen. A place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A place where people will have to endure the torment of the flame forever and ever and ever and never have any relief. I believe that sinners that die without God go to hell. There's two places, heaven or hell. Bible hasn't changed. Times haven't, Bible hasn't. And furthermore, standards have changed in our world, but not the standards of Scripture. A person needs to get saved. Amen. And I wonder, are you saved? Are you settled this morning in this church service, everybody I'm preaching to this morning, are you sure, without a shadow of a doubt, if you died, you go to heaven? My friend, you can get by not knowing a lot of things, and you can do without a lot of things, but you can't do without. You must not do without salvation before you die, or you're in a world of trouble. Let me put it like this, eternity trouble. So you must be born again. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a moment, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And Christians, please pray for unsaved people. Pray for folks that you know right now that are unsaved. Pray that there might be an awakening. And all do pray for revival in churches. And then pray this prayer, Lord, help me to be a part of that revival. Lord, revive me. Stir me up. Today, if you really believe in the soon coming of Christ, could I challenge you as your pastor, live in light of it? This is no time to play games with God. This is no time to be mediocre. This is no time to be hitting and missing hot and cold. This is the time to sell out to God. Put it all on the altar. And I think this morning an appropriate invitation would simply be this, that God's people be willing to come to an altar and say, Lord, in light of your soon return, Lord, I want to dedicate my life to you. I want to rededicate. I want to commit myself to you. To serve you faithfully until the trumpet sounds, and it may sound at any moment. So you come today. This invitation's for the Christian to come and simply pray and say, oh God, help me to take that message and may my life exemplify it. Then if you're here unsaved, come to Jesus Christ. Are you here this morning and you're not sure you're saved? Anyone like that? Or maybe anyone viewing, watching, right now if you're here, would you be willing to say, Preacher Peters, to my knowledge, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I don't want to take a chance. Pray for my soul salvation. Would you slip your hand up? Anyone in this building, if you're not 100% sure you're saved, would you slip a hand up for prayer? Friend, you need to get it settled. You really do. If you're watching me this morning, Facebook or YouTube, and you're not saved, I would urge you right now, bow your head, humble your heart, admit you're a sinner, cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me, was buried, and rose again. Come into my heart and save me. Have mercy on my soul. I would pray that you will pray that prayer. Now, you may have just prayed that prayer in this service. Maybe someone here just got saved. You called on God and asked Him to save you. If so, would you slip a hand up, anyone here? But those that I cannot see that are watching, they're viewing, if God just saved you, let people know about it. It'll make the hearts of Christians happy and joyful. Now, Lord, bless this invitation. Stir this church up. Put us back on the firing line. Help us, oh God, to live in light of these days. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother